Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The Chateau.
Great to be with you. Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
The
Hilscher's General Store hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565. I'd love to hear from you. There's nothing more enjoyable for me than taking calls and hearing you, what you think.
We can get some predictions from people about the NCAA tournament. Four big games tonight. Be interesting to get some thoughts from people about that. And then tomorrow night, I think there's the battle of the Sunshine State between Florida and Florida Gulf Coast. And I imagine a few people have
which
some
will thought. Be yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. No. That's going to be amazing. That Hilscher's General Store hotline, by the way, I should mention, is 1-800-795-9565. Hilscher's General Store, Smile South Grove. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. And, of course, this is Thursday. Rick Weibel, REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, 800-609-9484. And you can always go online to rewfinancial.com. Yeah. Let's get some calls. I want to talk about the tournament or about the interview I just did on wrestling. We can get to some Penn State football news. There are five practices down. They will not practice again until Monday. So the practice number five was yesterday. Five down, 10 to go, with the 10th being the blue-white game at Beaver Stadium. So five down, 10 to go, no practice today, tomorrow, Saturday, or obviously Easter Sunday. And then Monday they'll go back to work.
Have you had a chance to go to any practices, Steve?
Let's see. They've had five practices so far.
He's been to five.
One, two, three.
Five.
Four. Oh,
yeah.
There's a big surprise.
I was setting you up for that. Can I ask, are we allowed to ask questions about what's looking in practice? What's looking good
sure,
in practice?
We can talk about what.
I want
sure.
to know how that big running back from Maryland named Zwinak, who came out of nowhere last year, it seems, to really just do an awesome job. How's he doing?
Zwinak's having a really good spring. Zwinak is in great shape. His weight is exactly where he needs it to be. He's just a little bit better than 230 right now, and he looks quick, really quick. Akeel Lynch is off to a good start in the spring. Looks good. Bill Belton had a great winter program. You can see it in him. Brett Wilkerson's off to a good start at tight end. Jesse James and Matt Lehman have been Jesse James and Matt Lehman. Allen Robinson's Allen Robinson. I think Geno Lewis is a guy that's going to bear a lot of watching by fans this season. Then you add in Alex Kenny, and Alex Kenny's acting more like a football player, not a track guy during the course of this, and that's a big plus. And then Brandon Felder. Brandon, don't call me Mosby any longer, Felder. Brandon Felder. Now he doesn't want. He told. You notice last season, the middle of the season, I dropped the Mosby part
because
he and
that.
I talked, and he said, "Hey, yeah." He says, "Just do the Felder thing." He says, "See my nameplate." He says, "That's just what I want." I said, "Well, how come you didn't tell anybody else?" He goes, "I don't know." He said, "I just felt comfortable telling you." I said, "Okay, fine." So, but he's had a really good spring. So the wideout part has been good. In terms of what I've seen from that. And Matt Zandalato is very quietly, is a really good possession guy, moves the chains, gets some things done. Now, Kyle Carter, of course, I think as everybody knows, you know, is not doing any contact during the course of the spring. There's, you know, as I said to Jerry DiNardo and Howard Griffith yesterday, they were both at practice. I said, yeah, this is, they're in the game until August 31st, so, you know, no need. You know, you have Ty Howell, I think, will do a good job at center. John Urschel is a first-team All-Big Ten guy, and he looks it. Miles Diefenbach is a guy that I think is going to be a really good guard again for them. Donovan Smith has a chance to be an outstanding tackle. And Eric Schreie's versatility a lot. And then Adam Grove, other tackles who gained experience last year. And then you flip it to the defensive side of the ball. John Barnes, who was the freshman of the year, now looks like he wants to be the sophomore of the year. He had a great start in the spring. On the other side, you have C.J. Alani, Anthony Zettel. Zettel, I think, is doing really well in the spring. Brad Bars. So they have some depth at the defensive end spot. You flip it inside. And see, that's one thing about Zettel. He can play end, but if you ever needed to play tackle, he can play tackle. And then you have Kyle Boblitz. Boblitz is the same thing. If you needed him to play end, he could play end, but he also can play tackle. Boblitz has had a really good spring. Daquan Jones is exactly what you expect him to be. And Austin Johnson is a guy. Circle that name as a guy that's going to get a lot of playing time if he's healthy. He looks really good out there. Brian Gaia has done well. Derek Dowry has done well. Linebacker Carson's Carson, Hall's Hall. I think everyone knows that Naeem Wortman's been on that outside spot. I mean, Naeem Wortman, when he plays instinctively, is really good, and he is playing far more instinctive football in the spring than he did at any point last summer or early in the season when he was healthy. Now, the depth is somewhat of an issue at that spot. Ben Klein is not participating after having his shoulder taken care of, but Ben Klein will be very important to what they want to do. I think Gary Wooten is a guy that bears some watching. And also T.J. Radigan, that people would forget about T.J. because last spring he tore his ACL and he missed all of last season. Well, he's back. He's got a knee brace on, but he's done some things well, and he's off to a good start. And then in the secondary, I think everyone knows by now that Trevor Williams was flipped from wide receiver to corner. That's been a nice transition there. And then you also have Jordan Lucas, who's been very good. You also have Adrian Amos, who can play both corner and safety, because he did that all of last year. Malcolm Willis is back. Stephen Obeng Archibong is not participating because of his shoulder. So, I mean, that gives you at least a Cliff Notes version. And, of course, the kick. Now, you have to think you can expect like a guy like Ty Howell emerged to be the snapper in this whole thing. Because they kind of split that around last year between Howell and Furman and so forth. And, you know, Butterworth back, and they both have done well in the spring. So, I mean, it's been so far, I mean, they're making progress. There's no question they're making progress. The two quarterbacks are making progress. But there's, you know, still got, you know, 10 practices to go and, you know, a lot of work to do. But at least they're off to the start. I think they need to be off.
Steve,
off
let's
get to Dave.
Okay.
Sure. Then we'll get Dave. First, Bob.
Let me just make a comparison to the interview you had with Dave Paulson. And one of the things that you said about, asked Dave about, was being a fit with the school where he coaches, being a motivating factor to sign a 5-year contract extension. And I think Dave Paulson is a great fit at Bucknell. But I'm coming to see that Bill O'Brien is a great fit at Penn State and what the way Penn State wants to do their program. And I see both guys being very comfortable in what they're doing, the kind of student athletes they recruit. It looks like two guys are put in the right box. You know, they're the round peg in the round hole in both instances. And
you have to know who you are in this process, Bob. I think you have to know who you are in all of this. And where you're comfortable and where you enjoy being.
I think the other thing going with Dave that is Paul, that, go ahead, I'm sorry. The challenges that both face, you know, Dave Paulson's taking a 5-year contract, losing his 3 big stars because of the challenge of what the future holds. Bill O'Brien, obviously, the challenge.
Well, no, there's no doubt. I mean, the challenge is in any job, though. And you take a look at today's landscape. It's interesting. UCLA is not a great basketball job. It may be a BCS job with great tradition. But, Bob, let's face it. You know, when I'm looking at the fans out there now and I'm talking to them at this very moment, How many of them remember UCLA under John Wooden winning 10 out of 12? Well, guess what? Unless, you know, unless you were the age of, 38 or older, you weren't alive when John Wooden won his last national championship. Yeah. I mean, you know, we remember it. Watched it. You know, I saw Bill Walton knock down 21 out of 22 against Memphis. Checkerdome.
I watched the Houston game at the Astrodome. 55,000 people.
I did too.
I think it was black and white television late at night up in my bedroom.
Dick Enberg did the game.
Yes. You're right.
Enberg did the game. It was on TVS Sports. I mean, this is all best of, and it's rumor stuff to these guys.
Sure.
Now look at UCLA today. UCLA today is in a city that has the Clippers, the Lakers, the defending Stanley Cup champion Kings, the Dodgers, the Angels, Anaheim Ducks, which also won a Stanley Cup recently. They all are in a city where they're looking at the possibility of getting an NFL football team by building Farmers Field. And they also have USC football. Okay, so where's your pecking order? Where do you stand? What makes you the standout at that particular moment as opposed to being in Lexington where you are the show? And that's a big difference. Here's the other part that a lot of people don't realize, and you have to think about this, and this is not a political statement, please. Not a political statement. This is a statement of fact. In order to make a move, say you're a coach making $1.5 million a year coaching a school, okay, UCLA is going to have to offer you a lot more money than that, because say they offer you 2.1, 2.2. The tax laws are so restrictive in California, all you're doing is breaking even financial lateral movement as to what you bring home. And so you really have to overpay at the UCLA job in order to really make it be a significant raise because of the truly restrictive tax laws in California. But there's a lot of things that people don't realize that make it a mediocre job. So then you look at a Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens has done a great job at Butler, fits Butler what they want to do, and took tremendous advantage of Indiana's downturn during the end of Mike Davis, the craziness of the Kelvin Sampson years. Well, guess what? He started getting the players at Butler that Indiana used to get, because there wasn't an outlet for them to go to, and suddenly Butler became that outlet. He took advantage of it. He's done a great job. He's now moved from the Horizon to the Atlantic 10, and now he's in the Big East starting next year without changing jobs. Shaka Smart. Shaka Smart's in the Atlantic 10 now, where he can be the big fish in a small pond that is a multiple bid league now that has garnered respect in the Atlantic 10. He knows he has an avenue into the tournament, and then once in the tournament, he can do some damage. Why leave that job for someplace else? I don't blame him. Dave Paulson has a great situation at Bucknell. He's comfortable in Lewisburg, has built a program, knows he has something special, agrees with the academic mission, fits in perfectly with the academic mission. So could he go someplace else because, quote, the iron is hot? He can, but he really likes where he is and how he fits where he is. Bill O'Brien and Patrick Chambers are both the same way here. They fit the academic and athletic pursuit of what this university is about. And thus, they're here. They enjoy being here. They like being here. They've also, you know, Bill's had to overcome challenges no other coach has had to overcome. And he's had to write a handbook on how to go through it, which he has done brilliantly. But, you know, and I know to a certain point how it feels when other people have talked to me about maybe going someplace else. And I know some of you are disappointed I stayed. But, I mean, what I've had, you know, I've had chances to go other places, but this, I love my job and the people I work with, okay, and what I do. So to me, it fits me. And so, you know, some people say, why didn't you go to, and I'm not going to get into the other places, okay, because I work with Jack Ham, I work with Dick Girardi, I broadcast Penn State, I'm in a 110,000-seat stadium, I'm in a 15,000-seat arena, I'm in the Big Ten. I'm happy with what I have.
And you have Kevin and me, 3-5. Oh, I take that back. Hello?
Hello? Sorry, I'm not using the cricket sound effect.
Did we lose Steve?
Today's show is brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. Dave in Sunbury, welcome.
Services, LLC.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Steve.
How are you, Dave?
Okay. Steve, Bob, and Kevin, the three amigos.
That's right. I'm Chevy Chase.
Yes. Yeah. Are you Steve Martin there, Bob?
I am Steve Martin.
That would make you Martin Short.
Yes, it would be. And you're not.
It might be the other way around. Well, that was a great couple of interviews and stuff.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You know, and you know how I get choked up when I start talking?
No need to, Dave. We're the happy-go-lucky Thursday bunch.
Well, when did you share something with you?
I see. Since we're the happy-go-lucky Thursday bunch, there's no need to get choked up.
Okay, well, no, I wanted to share something with you, Steve. It's something, okay. It's something that you did for me several different times when I called in.
Uh-huh.
Especially about the ex-coach. Because you know what I do?
Sure. I know. I know how choked up you get about that, Dave. And believe me, you don't think that every day I don't miss him. I mean, I do. So.
Well, I called in the guy overnight, DA. Okay.
Okay.
And we were talking about Marcus Lattimore. And I said,
right, from South Carolina.
Yeah, I said how he handled his recruitment, where he went, and how he's been with the class act. Mm-hmm. So, being that Penn State was involved in some, you know, part of that I started choking up.
Right.
Well, right. He went on after I hung up. He started escalating me over the radio waves because my brother wondered if he would have been close to that guy, he'd have hit him in the head because he thought I was eating a sandwich and gagging on my food, and he said about the Heimlich maneuver and stuff like that. Because, you know, the way...
Fans of talk shows are not meant to be entertainment, Dave, in terms of entertainment fodder for the host. They're meant to be considered to be gold by us who do jobs. We have an audience and people like you that call.
And when I called in, the guy that sets it up says, well, when I told him the two things I wanted to talk about, he said, well, Marcus Lattimore, lead with that, because that's what they were talking about anyway. And then we went on about the deal between the Miami Heat deal and about the Lakers. But the Lakers, about how the 2001 year that they run the Western Conference clear to the NBA finals undefeated, lost that first game to the Sixers, and then did the four in a row. Well, he tried to use me as, you know, all kinds of mess. And this, I'm going to call the guy back tomorrow morning because there was two things I wanted to tell you. What's the one was, I won't be calling in tomorrow because I'm going down to Lancaster Sight and Sound for putting down a play, Noah.
Good show.
Okay. Good. That's wonderful.
And I also called it with you guys a glorious Easter holiday.
Well, you have a great Easter as well. I hope you enjoy your trip to Lancaster and have a great Easter holiday weekend. And I hope everybody does. Just be safe.
Well, Steve, there's one other thing. Says, like I said, the way the people here, how it interacts with Kevin, you know, poking fun with each other and stuff. And the way...
that's what we do best.
Is that what we do?
Yes, that's what we do.
And now Bob Bueller's in the house with that.
Bueller.
Well, and like he calls the chief, my cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, happy Easter, Dave.
We are one fun group here, Dave, and you're part of it, so we appreciate it. I hope you have a great time tomorrow, okay?
Okay. You know Stan Reeder? Anybody out there?
I know Stan Reeder. I knew him.
Well, he's a relation also.
Man, you've got the jackpot and genetic makeup.
Well, I'll give you another one. Nate Carter, he's out of Chicago. He's relational.
He was a Shikellamy wrestler.
Yeah.
Went to Clarion.
Yeah, he's out of Chicago. He's the superintendent of school out there right now.
Look, if you tell me you're related to Aaron Rodgers, now I'm going to like start questioning you.
No, I'm not.
I'm not related to Tommy Herr either.
I'm not related to any Rodgers, Mr. Rodgers' neighborhood, or any other Rodgers.
That's all right. All right.
Well, take good care, David.
Enjoy the show. I went down to a couple of years ago to that. Great shows. Great shows, Doug.
That's great. Dave, thanks. Happy Easter. We need to take a break. We're up against a hard break here at the bottom of the hour, which we will take care of right now. Kevin and Buter in the house. We talk sports knocking around on a Thursday here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring. 2011 Ford Escape, four-wheel drive, XLT only $16,791. 2012 Hyundai Elantra, four-door sedan, GLS just $17,591. 2012 Chevrolet Colorado, extended cab LT, $17,627. 2011 Subaru Legacy, four-door sedan, $21,498. 2007 Chevy Tahoe, four-door, four-wheel drive, $21,995. And a 2008 Ford F-150 Super Crew, 145 Lariat. Call for a price, 888-536-8017. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Did you know Evangelical Community Hospital offers care locations in Lewisburg, Middleburg, Mifflinburg, Milton, Northumberland, and Stevens Grove?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Who are you? The Pretty Amigo!
Yes. Yes. We can certainly cut that down to two.
Oh, sorry, Bob.
I'm out the door already. Oh, no.
You got kicked out the basement door.
Yes.
No, Bob, I really don't think you were the nominee.
Oh, well, then you're kicked out the basement door then. I'm sorry for you.
I believe my show's on the banner. My name's on the banner.
It is. Last time we checked.
It's nothing Whiteout can't fix.
Steve, I was...
Do you want to go down the hall and tell Roger?
I didn't say it would work. I said it's nothing it couldn't fix.
Kevin goes down to Roger and says, Roger, I've got good news and bad news.
Roger may be happy. Get more Whiteout. Yeah. Okay, NCAA tournament. Let's do a little bit of breakdown for everybody tonight. First of all, it started at the Verizon Center. This is going to be Syracuse, or as Kevin says, Syracuse. Against Indiana. Syracuse is a very dangerous team in a tournament of this sort when on the second day of the weekend, as opposed to the first day of the weekend. Kevin now has a perplexed look on his face.
You know what? It's almost like you can see.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, what?
Huh?
Because when you are playing Syracuse and the 2-3 zone, and it's the first game of the weekend, okay, you have had 4 days to look at tape, put it in practice, have your team work against it, and get used to what you're going to do. When you're the second game of the weekend against Syracuse, okay, you know, which would be, in this case, would be Saturday. The team that wins the other game has 1 day to prepare for it. Now, they will have scouted it and have had it scouted out for a long time as a possibility, but it's the practical application and practice as to how to play against it and the length that they have. That's why in the second day they become a really dangerous team to play, and it's easier to play them in the first, you know, in the first day of the tournament as opposed to the second, because you've had 4 days to get ready for it in practical application on a practice floor. That's the reason why. The length that they have at the front of this, you know, Trish is like 6'5". And they have 2 6'5" guys at the front. Cody Zeller is incredibly important in this game tonight. Indiana, in my opinion, has done no better than a C-plus, B-minus job all season of getting him the basketball. He needs to get touches in this offense as often as possible tonight, not because of the shooting ability, but his ability to make the right decision. Do I take it to the bucket or do I, oh, he's open and kick the ball out to the right man? Where Louisville crushed the zone when they played it, where Zhang did a great job of getting to the foul line, the high post area, and that's where a 2-3 zone is always vulnerable, right there in that mid post to high post area. That's where it's vulnerable, where you can get the ball, you can enter the ball into it, and from there, if you make the right decision, you can knock this thing apart and you can get it moving. And if you enter it to there, and then Zeller, boom, decides, oh, nope, no basket, oh, wide open is Hulls, and kick it out, he will get open looks because of the decision-making that Zeller makes in this game tonight. The Indiana guards are undersized. Hulls and Farrell are both about 6 feet tall, as opposed to the 6'4", 6'5 guards that Syracuse brings to the table. So Syracuse is going to have, on their end, have to shoot the three well. Indiana's going to have to make good decisions and get this zone moving, and Zeller's going to be critical in terms of post touches. Now, a 2-3 zone team also opens the door, by the way, to offensive rebounds. And this is where Zeller and Oladipo had to be really good in this game, because usually zone teams are not great rebounding teams. You don't usually rebound well out of a zone. So watch for that in tonight's game. Are you still, why are you still looking confused?
You lost me at hello.
I think Temple really did show that Indiana is a very vulnerable team and obviously played very well against them.
Well, this goes back to what I talked about that I've talked about for a couple months now. Indiana is not a team that plays well when it becomes a tractor pull and gets ground down. They want it freewheeling, wide open. They want to be scoring 75 points or better. That's what they want.
Sure.
They don't play well in a reduced gear. They're not a good two-speed team, which is why they become vulnerable in a situation like that.
And I think Jim Boeheim knows how to coach to change the pace and go fast when you need to, but slow it down when you have to.
I mean, the other part, too, is that Syracuse does have the advantage. They're used to the surroundings. I mean, they play every year in the Verizon Center. They play every year there. So they're actually, when they walked in for shoot-around yesterday, and they walked in for shoot-around this morning, they looked around and said, yep, we've done this. In fact, they were just in that arena a month ago.
Yeah, been there, done that.
They didn't play well a month ago down there, but they still played well. I mean, they still have played there a lot.
You may have addressed this in your in your view of the game, in your analysis of the game. I think that's a word.
No, anyway, it's not.
It's a word in mine. It's a word in my dictionary.
Jeez, Bob. I mean, you know, how many times when you do this show with me do you resist your old days and say I object?
That's good,
Your Honor. My opponent, worthy opponent, just used the word that's not even in a dictionary.
It's in mine, all right? And I'm using mine, not the King's.
Would you please instruct the jury and
the
audience
English
to disregard that last word? That is
all right.
So anyway.
Now that you've gone and looked at the game, and you may have addressed this, but have Syracuse really seen the outside shooting that Indiana has? And will that be a difference for Indiana?
Well, they play in the Big East, so sure, they've seen that. I mean, you play in the Big East, you're gonna see teams like that, but they don't have anybody like Zeller in the Big East.
Yeah, well, they've got a lot of outside shooters on that.
There's
team.
Nobody like Zeller, and there's nobody like Oladipo, but at the same time, there's nobody in the, you know, because you have to remember, Luke Hancock of Louisville is about as fine a 3-point shooter as you're gonna see in the country. He's really good, and with Peyton Siva and Smith. Yeah, they can do that. But see, Louisville kind of got them moving and carved them up a little bit. The other game is on the opposite side is going to be Marquette and Miami.
Johnson cannot play tonight for Miami. That changes how Marquette looks at this. Marquette has some size inside. Marquette is not a great – it's interesting how Blues had a great tournament, and he saved them against Davidson with a couple of three-point shots, but he's not a, really a great three-point shooter. But Marquette plays with guts. They play with some grit. The backcourt is going to be an advantage for Miami, especially with Shane Larkin. Larkin will do a great job against Marquette. The key is for them is to have somebody else step up in Johnson's absence. The odd part is that if Miami can survive this weekend, Johnson probably can play in the Final Four. It was very minor knee surgery, but something that had to be done. So Miami-Marquette, even without Johnson, I can see Miami getting through that. Now you go out west, Wichita and LaSalle. Wichita, what they did to Gonzaga was an aberration. This is why I say it. Wichita State is actually only a 33% three-point shooting team, yet they hit five consecutive threes against Gonzaga, which turned everything around. That really is not their M.O. They're a team that shoots the ball mid-range really well. They have a good inside game, and they have length on the inside. LaSalle does not have length on the inside, except Steve Zach is going to come back tonight. How many minutes he can play remains to be seen. It's not just what Zach can do to help Jarrell Wright out on the baseline, because Wright is listed at 6'8". He's probably 6'6" in reality. I mean, when I was around him, I kind of thought he was in that 6'6" range when I stood next to him. And he is somebody, I think Wright has played his guts out in the postseason. He's played his guts out in this tournament. And they needed another body in there that could counter Wichita State inside. Zach, I don't know how many minutes, but he'll help. The other thing that Zach does very well is he is a very good high post passer. He killed Penn State with his ability in the high post to kick it out to Mills, Galloway, and Tariq Duren. Now, Garland did not play against Penn State. He was not eligible yet because of the transfer from Virginia Tech. So they'll put four guards in the floor. They'll bring Zach off the bench, but he's very effective. And here's what's scary for Wichita. LaSalle is advanced in this thing, but Duren, whom I feel is their best player, I mean, Galloway's really good, but I think Duren's their best player, hasn't played well in the tournament yet. If he becomes Tyreek Duren tonight, Wichita is going to have problems. Here's the other part. LaSalle, last week, survived the weekend on fumes because they were the team last week that played three games in 5 days, and there was one travel day involved in there too. And they've had 4 days now, and I think you'll see a fresher, better product from LaSalle tonight than what you would see. Arizona and Ohio State. I don't know what to make of Arizona because they've had, with all due respect, okay, with all due respect, Arizona's had the easiest road of anybody in this tournament. They essentially have played a non-conference schedule that included Harvard and Belmont. But they have balance. Mark Lyons is a really good guard. You're talking about a 15-point-a-game guy, 3 assists. You know, okay with the 3, great free-throw shooter. You get the ball to him down the stretch, he'll knock down 85% of them. Solomon Hill, really good. You know, good on the glass, good scorers, over 13 a game, 5 boards a game. Nicky Johnson, another double-figure scorer for them as well. You know, Kevin Parham, very good in terms of hitting the glass. Brandon Ashley, really good on the glass. They have good balance there with this team. They're not bad in terms of shooting the outside. Solomon Hill's a very good three-point shooter. And Nick Johnson's a really good three-point shooter. And Parham's an outstanding three-point shooter. You're talking about a guy that's hit almost 41% this year. And then they bring Grant Jarrett in, and Grant Jarrett's a 40% three-point shooter as well. So that's where they get you. So they've been very good with that all year. But Lyons is going to see pressure tonight, unlike anything he has seen, not only in this tournament, but in his career. There is nobody in the Pac-12 that guards the way Aaron Kraft guards. Aaron Kraft is very special with how he guards on the floor. Very special. His footwork is exemplary. His anticipation is really, really tremendous. And the best scorer on the floor, without question, is DeShawn Thomas. The question for Ohio State in this game is going to be as follows. Can Ohio State get the continued contributions from Lenzell Smith Jr., Shannon Scott, and Sam Thompson and Evan Ravenel? If they get 35 points out of those four guys, they'll win the game.
I got the best stat for that game when you're ready then, Steve.
And it is?
Arizona has not lost a game outside the Pac-12 this season.
Okay. Well, until tonight.
I just thought it was an interesting stat.
No, I know. Look, they were a preseason favorite by a lot of people to be a Final Four team this year. But there, to me, oddly enough, Florida Gulf Coast has played a better NCAA tournament schedule than Arizona has.
Yeah. Because
of Harvard and Belmont.
Sure.
Yeah, but the interesting part is that you look at down the stretch, this team lost at USC, lost at UCLA, then they beat Arizona State, Colorado, then they lost to UCLA again. They were actually 2-3 in their last five games before Belmont and Harvard. So I don't know how good they are. In terms of, I'm talking about, this is all in relative, I'm talking about it because they're obviously good enough. Okay. They're in the Sweet 16, they should be. I'm talking on a relative scale. I don't have a read yet on how well Arizona's playing because I don't think wins over Belmont and Harvard tell me a lot. Just like, obviously, I don't think a win by Ohio State over Iona tells me anything. Their win over Iowa State told me a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're right. Their non-conference schedule, sure, they went through their non-conference schedule. They beat Texas Tech. They beat Texas El Paso. I mean, they beat Clemson. They beat Florida. They had a great win over Florida back in December, which was a huge win for them. They beat Miami. They beat San Diego State. So yeah, in the non-conference, Kevin's absolutely right. They haven't lost a non-conference game all year.
Against some very good opponents, too.
Yeah, very good opponents. So, they were looking like, it's just I don't have a read or feel for them, and nobody knows the arena. Not one of these teams has played in the Staples Center this year. Arizona has played there in the past as part of the Pac-12 tournament. I think the Pac-12 tournament was there last year. This year it was in Las Vegas. Yes. Five tournaments this year were in Las Vegas.
I should have been there. Oh,
yeah. Also the Buter's volunteering.
Oh man, I'm going out as the sideline reporter for SJS next year if they're going to have. I know the WAC was out there, and
WAC and the Mountain, WAC,
Mountain
the
West.
Mountain West, the Pac-12, the West Coast Conference, and the Big West.
And one of them was at the Orleans. The other was down at the Thomas and Mack. So
all I know is if Buter,
Pac-12 was at MGM.
Yes.
If Buter goes out there, he's not going to be reporting from the sideline. It's going to be, hey, Bob, what's the latest? Hang on a minute. Bar, give me another bar. Come on. Hit it. Give me that third one.
Well, that or snake eyes on the craps table.
Meanwhile, Kevin will be at the America East Championship game at Patrick Gymnasium in Burlington. All right.
I know where to vacation,
quick question,
don't I?
Steve. The coaching matchups for the three games you just previewed. If you were just to boil it down to the coaching matchups, what would your picks be then?
Just based on coaches?
Yeah. I mean, like
just pure coaching?
Yeah. Well, with the talent they have, I mean, obviously. But when you look at a Jim Larrañaga with that Miami team going back to the Verizon Center, et cetera.
Larrañaga, big check mark. I think he's the best coach in the region. Yes. He's the best coach in the region, in my opinion.
Okay,
that includes Crean and Boeheim and whatever.
Sure.
So, Larrañaga.
Crean Boeheim's a difficult one, I would think, for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, I don't like the way either one of them reacts.
Right.
I don't know, maybe Crean.
Okay.
Thad Mata, Sean Miller's an excellent matchup. I'm going to go, but Mata has such great success. I go with Thad and... Hey, Greg Marshall's one of the better coaches in the country, but Dr. John's done so well, but I go with Greg Marshall. It's hard.
You know, and just think about this.
It's hard.
You're a Bucknell guy or a Dave Paulson, and you know you've beaten LaSalle by eight in the early season, and you're seeing that same team out there in the Sweet 16 going, oh.
Yeah, but I mean, but look at the coaches in this thing. Rick Pitino, Dana Altman, Tom Izzo, Mike Krzyzewski, okay, Bill Self.
Yep.
John Beilein, Andy Enfield, who's unknown until now, Billy Donovan, Greg Marshall, John Giannini, Sean Miller, Thad Mata, Jim Larranega, Buzz Williams. Still don't like what he did to DJ Newbill. I think that was all. That's so wrong what he did to him. And Jim Boeheim and Tom Crean.
I'd say, would you say, how many of those will be in a Hall of Fame up in Springfield, Massachusetts, when it's all said and done, out of that 16?
Pitino makes it. Sure. Altman's so underrated that I don't think they would know how to vote for him. He's really good. But Pitino definitely makes it. Izzo definitely makes it. Krzyzewski makes it. I think Bill Self, I think, will make it. Billy Donovan will make it. John Beilein will get considered.
Boeheim will make it.
Boeheim will make it. But Larranega is so good.
He is so good.
I don't know if he'll make it unless he wins the title.
Okay. Can I tell you a quick Larranega story?
What we'll do is we'll take a break.
All right.
And then we'll get to your Jim Larranega story tomorrow. First time I ever saw him was a game against Penn State Bowling Green, 1992. I told Bill O'Brien that. He goes, "You've got to be kidding me." I said, "Look, I'm old. I'm sorry." We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring. 2011 Ford Escape, four-wheel drive, XLT only $16,791. 2012 Hyundai Elantra, four-door sedan, GLS just $17,591. 2012 Chevrolet Colorado, extended cab LT, $17,627. 2011 Subaru Legacy, four-door sedan, $21,498. 2007 Chevy Tahoe, four-door, four-wheel drive, $21,995. And a 2008 Ford F-150 Super Crew, 145 Lariat. Call for a price, 888-536-8017. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com. At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
That's the sound of Buhner at the slot machine in Vegas.
I don't hear any payoff.
Exactly. You are exactly right. I said that's the sound of Buhner at the slot machine in Vegas, and Steve goes, "I didn't hear any payout."
Not yet. That's right.
So what's your quick Larranega story?
2006, I had ringside seats at the Verizon Center to see the East Regionals and saw George Mason, coached by Jim Larranega, and Connecticut play in the championship game to go to the Final Four. I'm sitting three seats away from Jim Larranega's wife and some of the people from George Mason. George Mason wins literally at the buzzer, upsets Connecticut, and the CBS guys are trying to track Larranega down. They chase him across the floor. He runs up in the stands to see his wife and give her the biggest kiss a coach has given anybody on national television. Before the interview, he blew everybody off to hug his wife and his daughter. I think he had some daughters and family members. That's the kind of guy he is. That's what's important to Jim Larranega.
Right.
Not a post-game interview. Sorry to all the announcers out there, Steve, but that's the kind of guy he is.
I think it's more important, too. I mean, you know, I always wait.
Yep.
They got to do what they how they feel first.
Yeah, so I cheer for Jim Larranega every chance I get.
Gentlemen, Kevin, what?
Buehner, have a safe trip down to where I was last week.
I'm on my way, Steve, down south.
Buehner, have a great time.
Thank you.
Kevin will be taking another vacation shortly.